Let us bow for prayer. Almighty God, before whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. For it is through Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, that we pray.
God is alive. His Spirit is loose in His world. Hope is alive. Salvation is happening now. Love is alive. Death cannot tame it. We are alive. New life in Christ is given.
God is alive. A new age is on. Church is alive. God's Spirit stirs within. God is
Hope is alive. Love is alive. Church is alive. We are alive. God is alive.
Not one person who has ever become a disciple of Jesus has ever done so with a lick and a promise and a rushed up prayer. Discipleship that is discipleship is costly. Costly business. The Lord Christ never pretended otherwise, nor would he allow those who would be his followers to pretend. Someone said that Jesus Christ never hid his scars to win a single disciple. I believe that. I believe that the Lord of glory made it crystal clear that whoever followed him would follow him by way of a cross, and that means suffering every time and some sacrifice along the journey and self-denial too. And that, after all, is what this table is all about. It is a stark reminder of some scars, our Lord's and our own. It underscores certain struggles, his struggles. This bread is my body broken. This cup is my blood spilled. And it pinpoints some struggles of all like unto us who would intend to follow him. But there's also a promise wrapped up in this table. It is the promise that God uses broken things. From broken clouds, rains come. And from broken seed and soil, crops spring. And from broken bread, strength comes. It is the promise then of Jesus, as interpreted by Paul to the Romans, the Spirit comes to help us when our scars show, when we're weak. The truth is, we never were intended to walk to this table in our own strength. Try it, you will stumble and sprawl. We have a helper to live life in our time according to the model of the Lord Christ in the now. That helper is Spirit, God's Spirit. No dead dogma, no word about this table of sage or prophet or priest or king, no matter how meaningful, but a living reality, a Spirit who helps us to this table. The table then beckons us to let some scars show, to roll back a cloth and roll up a sleeve and reveal some evidences of our belonging. The table reminds us, well, it reminds us of some intellectual scars. Many a man has banged his head up against the incredible possibility that a dying Savior could provide life everlasting. That's an intellectual scandal. Here is where our railroad tracks of knowledge run right into a swamp. We can muster all the mental gymnastics we choose. But in the final analysis, before this table, we faith it. Here is where the ultimate mysteries of God refuse to give up their riddles. Here logic gives way to love and hope, and we faith it. Not that we have to switch off our brains to offer Jesus Christ our hearts, nothing like that. But it is simply to say that we can ponder and calculate and analyze and scrutinize and all the rest that we like, and the table will still baffle us with its mystery. Our minds are scarred at this place, and we're made to marvel in our finitude. Even so, we approach it gladly, saying that it is yet so much to know. So much to know about God and about ourselves and about his work in us and in his world. No human being, not one of us, could ever hope to understand the whole truth about God, because finite minds can't stretch that far, not in burst. We would not think of trying to cram a university education into a kindergarten child. No more so would we be able to swallow the whole meaning of this table in one mental gulp. Even to his disciples, tutored for all those months of intimacy with him, he said that night when he shared the supper in the beginning, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Here is where Holy Spirit comes. He comes to guide us and tutor us gradually toward this table, knowing full well that Luther was right, that the simplest maid with Holy Spirit can know more about God than the greatest scholar without Holy Spirit. Can you imagine the thrill of an explorer who discovers a new land looming out there on the horizon, or an astronomer when a new planet swings into view of his telescope? Such discovery awaits us as we approach this table. It is the discovery that the knowledge of God can come alive. These symbols can help make it so. Here it can happen. Some truth, which has been nothing but dead doctrine, can suddenly come alive. Some familiar, almost hackneyed passage of Scripture can become the very voice of God speaking to our now. Here our thoughts can share and shed their academic dust and blossom with the full meaning of the very truth of God. So, before this table, let us offer up our minds, scarred by the massive reality of it, always beyond our grasp. This supper also requires that we recognize some moral scars as well. Who among us has not at some times discovered a failure to measure up morally? We've all been smashed by our sins. And even at a campus like this campus, where seminaries happen, guilt grows awfully heavy at times. This sense cascades over us before this table. Here we know what Jesus Christ has done for us, and knowing that, what he requires of us. And it is the most awesome requirement of all. It is the requirement of love. And here we know how weak we have been, how dismally we have muffed our chances, and how lamentably we have failed to pursue, even casually at times, the ongoing purpose of God in our lives. We're scarred morally, and this table reminds us of such. Just how extensive and just how deep are those scars? But here again, Spirit comes, Holy Spirit comes, to remind us that we have only made or on the brink of making one colossal mistake. And that mistake, the mistake of trying to go it alone. Before Christian faith is an ethic to be done, you see, it is a good news, a proclamation to be heard, to be accepted. Christian faith is the news of someone happening now, something that still happens in you, in me, in us. The great Christian virtues, they're not something we accomplish. They're something God accomplishes through us. We cannot achieve moral purity, and this table reminds us of that. But we can receive it fresh every morning. It is an accomplishment of God's Spirit at work in the likes of us. Thus our moral scars show, but we gladly acknowledge our sins, forgiven under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, before whom this table is spread, and by whom it is spread. This supper then opens up whole new vistas of possibility for our response. If with all our hearts we eat this bread and drink this cup, responding to what God can do and is doing with us and within us, then we have met the conditions for approaching this table. All the rest is commentary upon the faith by which we come to this place. Come then, to the table of our Lord, gladly letting your scar show. And the Lord Christ has promised to meet us here, to meet us here gladly, binding up our minds and our spirits in his awesome love. Said, take this bread and eat it. It is my body broken for you. Almighty God, our Father, as the life-giving stuff flows through our veins, may this cup remind us of how sturdy and yet how fragile is life. And may the great gift given in Christ take on new proportion in our knowledge that underneath this very moment are his everlasting arms. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.